Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, Site Visibility have another piece of shameless self-promotion because they've just released their 2020 PPC Automation Guide. The guide is completely free to download, and it will help you get started in each of the new automation settings in Google Ads. So this includes smart bidding, responsive ad testing, dynamic search ads, and more. The best way to accelerate your PPC growth in 2020 is to start planning today. So download your guide for free at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. I'll say that again. Bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. Now, today I'm joined by Lachlan Kirkwood, digital marketing specialist, content creator, and founder of Clickthrough DM. Lachlan, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on board.
Absolute pleasure, Lachlan. And geographically, you're on the east coast of Australia, Brisbane to be precise. Is that right?
Yes, I am. So a bit of a time delay between us now, but we're making it work.
It's literally milliseconds. Oh, you were referring to the chronological clock, weren't you, rather than the actual lag of packets coming between us. Can I ask you a really silly question? Because I already know the answer to this. What's the weather doing in Brisbane right now?
Not so good. It's hot, yeah. And there's a couple of fires around, if you haven't seen on Twitter trending at the moment. So yeah, it's been pretty full on at the moment coming into the holiday period.
You know, I wish we could scoop up all the rain we've had in the south of Britain here, England. God, we'll soon just be England the way things are going. I won't be able to say UK anymore. I wish I could just scoop up all the rain we've had in the last couple of weeks and just dump it on you guys to give you a hand.
Yeah, if only.
Yeah, great big scoop to scoop it up. Anyway, let's start off. Tell us about yourself, Lachlan, and what you do over there. And tell us a little bit about Clickthrough DM as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I based in Brisbane, Australia, as you mentioned, and I've been working in the digital industry for about 4 years now. And my experience spans across a myriad of different tech startups and digital agencies where I've really taken a data-driven approach in what I've done working in particularly the social media area. So like things like paid performance ads and really trying to leverage data where we can to drive and measure performance, like conversion objectives. Mm. And throughout my journey, I actually started documenting everything in my career from an early stage. So I'd write a blog post a month, just about what I was learning at the time as a digital marketer and even just as an individual. And I started sharing that on a blog that I created, and I kind of compounded over time, and I really just started growing a bit of an audience in Australia itself. And that's really helped me build a personal brand for myself in the industry. And at the start of this year, 2019, that is the time of recording, I took the leap and started moving into like a freelancing consulting role. Also, while I was kind of supporting a venture that I had on the side called Clickthrough, as you mentioned, which is a culture-driven job board for digital marketers. So I really wanted to build a way where digital marketers could connect with brands that share the same values that they do, just because it's something that I, as a digital marketer, am really passionate about as well too. So yeah, it's a bit about my background there.
It's so powerful, actually. You mentioned that you document everything you do, and I don't know how many people do that, but it's such a powerful thing, which of course goes hand in hand with your blog. I was just curious, actually. Did you say you'd written a book? Or might there be a book on the way, do you think?
Possibly, yes. It's kind of it's one of those things that I want to balance between. So there's plenty of things I want to do and not enough time. It's probably the easiest way to answer that.
Yeah, I know that feeling, especially a week before Christmas, which is when we're recording this. So I wanted to talk about, I suppose, if you're going to sum it up, the social landscape, particularly moving into next year, 2020. But shall we start off with how things have progressed and changed, perhaps? The changes and trends that we've seen across the digital I'll say that right one day. Digital marketing. Try saying that fast three times in a row. Across the digital marketing landscape in 2019. Summary of changes and trends.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to focus on a particular things with this and try and avoid using as many buzzwords as possible. Yeah. But I'm going to start by dropping a buzzword, the old privacy word. So one thing obviously that's changed over the past 2 years, even more so than particularly this year, but it's continually becoming more important, is a lot of people are concerned about their privacy and like what that means when they're using social platforms. Yeah. And not just Facebook, but obviously across different platforms as well. And even just the way that they're communicating now, they want things to be more private, ephemeral. They want to be in control of the conversations that they're having. Mm. So I definitely see that progressing or has changed a lot this year. And even, I mean, you guys introduced the GDPR last year, and California is now following with their own regulations. And that's something that I believe is going to continually change progressively in the future. But that's been a big change in the way that companies are able to use data on particular users. So the people have become more empowered, I guess, over the year. And what that means, I guess, for social platforms, as I touched base on, is that a lot of this activity that people were having is now more private, or it's in smaller niche communities where they feel comfortable sharing their actual thoughts. And a lot of platforms are now changing to adapt to that. So things like Messenger continually becoming more popular. Instagram released their Threads application, which is their direct messaging alternative to Instagram. Mm. So it's really interesting to watch that change over the year. Another area I wanted to touch base on is actually my background, as I mentioned, is in paid performance across social media, particularly with Facebook and Instagram ads. And one thing I've noticed with the clients that I've worked with this year, and even some of the campaigns I've ran myself, is that the CPAs have just continually risen throughout the year, and it's becoming more expensive as more brands start to migrate to digital platforms because I guess everyone's heard that, you know, it is the right thing to do. And it's just, the right place to be if you are a brand wanting attention of users. And as a result of that, cost per acquisitions have really risen a lot. But on the flip side of that, probably another buzzword right now is the rise of TikTok has really been something that I've been excited about as a digital marketer. About midway through the year, I was really concerned about platforms becoming more expensive to advertise on. And I was really just confused and looking for an alternative around that. And then TikTok was something that I had been using a little bit for about a year at the time. And then it really just hit me that, you know, there is so much potential organically for brands to build a following there. And that's something that's only going to continue, I think, throughout 2020, becoming more popular. And it'd be really interesting to get your thoughts actually about you being based in the UK, how is TikTok performing over there? Is it quite a popular platform at the moment?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because my next little sub question to you was going to be, because I hadn't heard of TikTok. I know I haven't been living in a cave, I promise. I hadn't heard about TikTok until quite recently. I was just wondering if you could just explain to our listeners, because not all of them may have heard of it, what it is and how it differs.
So a bit of background on TikTok actually is, so it was originally Musical.ly. I don't know if you've heard of that, if you haven't heard of TikTok, but about 3 years ago, Musical.ly was quite a popular app. It had about 200 million users at the time. So that's about comparable to what Snapchat has at the moment. And then a Chinese company called ByteDance owned an app called Douyin, which is essentially TikTok. They then acquired Musical.ly and merged those two apps together to create a bit of a super app.
Yeah.
And TikTok, to be straightforward, I guess, it's just a great combination between Vine and Instagram. So it's short form, snackable video content. It's for a younger demographic, similar to the age group of Snapchat. But the idea is that content is just really entertaining. There's no kind of salesy content on there. There's no like political content on there. It's just younger users in a community where they feel safe to publish authentic content, where they can show off their flaws, they can show off funny things that happen in their lives. And yeah, it's really like over the past 6 months in particular in 2019, like it's really risen. And what's interesting is that TikTok was massive in developing countries like India and not so much China, but it was massive over there. And these are the countries where Facebook and Google are trying to get into at the moment, but TikTok's already conquered those landscapes and now they're kind of just migrating into the Western world and they're starting to get some really good traction. So, I mean, in Australia here, for instance, in the past probably 3 months, it's really just taken off.
Do you think this is a trend? Because you also mentioned Messenger, actually, which I wanted to just pick up on, gaining in popularity. Do you think it's because these platforms are more focused onto one thing and they're a bit simpler to use? Is that a trend we're seeing?
Yeah, I think it's just the way that people are starting to share content, as I said. So I guess when I go onto Facebook, and this is just my biased opinion, a lot of the content I see on there is just either memes or life events from people that I know. And so TikTok is a great combination of people sharing funny kind of meme-like videos. So that's public-facing and people just love that. So it's almost like they've condensed the best parts of Facebook or Instagram into one platform. And then Messenger, on the other hand, is more for those private interactions that are really meaningful. So if, you know, you are communicating with family members or friends and things like that. And like there's plenty of great integrations and things like that in Messenger now for, you know, scheduling calendar events and things like that. So yeah, I just think they're two really powerful platforms that have really kind of risen throughout 2019.
Now I want to talk about personal branding for a little bit, specifically, I guess, why digital marketers and brands should care in 2020.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think that as a digital marketer, the most important thing you should be able to do is market yourself. And as I mentioned earlier on, when I entered the industry, I started looking at ways that I could share my unique story, I guess, about the experiences that I was having as a digital marketer. And I didn't really have the intention to grow anything from that, but it just naturally happened. I think that as the future of the professional landscape, and this is, again, just my biased opinion, the way I see it, as people start to look for more flexibility in their careers, the average 9-to-5 job probably isn't going to be as popular, particularly with the next generation coming through. And by building a personal brand, digital marketers can support a more creative lifestyle. They can open up more opportunities. They can build for leadership in the industry. It allows them to kind of have a bit of authority in the industry and really leverage that in smart ways to either learn new skills from creating a personal brand, because personal branding is essentially creating content, publishing it, and building an audience, which when you refine what a digital marketer does in their day-to-day job, there's a lot of similarities there. So I think it's crucial essentially for digital marketers to really learn new skills and really upskill themselves. And I mean, some of the benefits just off the top of my head is, and I saw these firsthand myself, is when I was building a personal brand, you become a lot more valuable to the company that you're working for. So, I mean, I myself had worked at digital agencies and we'd scored new clients purely off the back of my personal brand because people wanted to work with Lachlan, myself. And I just happened to be working in an agency. So we were more than happy to take them on. And I was almost like an account manager for that person because they trusted me. They'd seen the content that I created. They knew that I was capable of producing certain work. So that was really useful. And as I mentioned earlier as well too, I'm a consultant now. I work freelance. And I mean, it's been really easy to source new work once I built a bit of a portfolio for myself. And I can confidently even charge more as a digital marketer because I have a bit of a personal brand as opposed to if I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's interesting that because I remember in the early days of podcasting, one of the things we always used to talk about was if people have been listening to your podcast, you know, they trust you, don't they? You mentioned trust in there and how that helps you get further work. You also touched on something quite interesting, actually, which was modes of working. And I was just wondering what the future of work for digital marketing is going to look like as we move into 2020.
Another really great question. So as I mentioned before, I think that flexibility is something that not just even just digital marketers, but a lot of people are starting to want within their working lifestyle. And it just so happens to be that the landscape of digital marketing is one of those services that you can certainly offer from yourself as long as you have a computer anywhere in the world with internet connection. So it's something that a lot of people can do. I've also noticed that a lot of digital marketers are starting to want to work for brands that do align with their values, particularly like social issues and things like that. They really want to work on something that makes a difference, as cliche as that sounds, where they can see the results that they're bringing. I also think that there's also a nice integration now between digital marketing and different areas of a business. And that could be things like design or development or even product roles, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, CPAs on ad platforms like Facebook or Google search are becoming more expensive. So a lot of brands are now trying to build some sort of growth into their products or services so that way they can scale themselves at a much more cost-effective rate. And a lot of that isn't exactly digital marketing itself, but it's a great combination between leveraging data within a product and making informed decisions about building products that have that almost sense of virality or growth built into them. So I think that digital marketers moving into 2020 and even beyond that, there's certainly a lot more accountability about the work that they're doing. And they're all going to need to have an analytical mindset and really love digging into the data and understanding what decisions they can make based off accurate data, not just their gut feeling, I guess.
You've almost answered my next question in a way, because I was going to ask you what, you know, we're recording this about a week before Christmas. I think it'll go out probably about a week after Christmas. But what do you think our audience should be thinking about as they sort of prepare for New Year's Eve or recover from a hangover on the 1st of 2020? What do you think they should be thinking about in terms of their career and their work going into the new year?
Yeah, well, if you've got some time off, it's a great time to research. And especially if, you know, you're feeling lazy or rusty on a Sunday morning, you can, you know, open up the computer and do a bit of research. But I think that as a digital marketer, you should try and really step outside your comfort zone and learn or gain a bit more of an understanding about other functions of a business that aren't just digital marketing. So as I mentioned, things like development, design, product, and this again is just from my background working in tech startups and digital agencies. So it's not going to be completely relevant for anyone. But when you can understand how your work impacts the rest of an organization as a whole, it allows you to build better user experiences that aren't just specifically for digital marketing. And you can better communicate with people to get the certain things that you need. So a good example is that, you know, if you want to set up tracking on your website or something like that, you traditionally would have needed to go to a developer to do that. And if you can communicate exactly what you need, it just makes you as a digital marketer a bit more competent in terms of your work. And the other thing I want to touch base on as well is that the landscape changes, and particularly in 2020 and years moving forward, it's going to continue to change. So I think you need to remain agile and be willing to learn. And there's plenty of resources out there that are free. So I know that Facebook has their Blueprint course, Google has their Google Garage course. These are all up-to-date resources that teach you things like new ad formats that are coming out, new targeting strategies. So being able to just remain on the cutting edge of the industry is so important. So if you've got some time, you know, just sitting on the couch on a Sunday morning, as I mentioned, like pop open some blogs, dive deep into it and really just ingrain yourself in it and be willing to learn.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you so much for coming on, Lachlan. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Click-Through DM?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, I publish a lot of content myself on my personal blog, which is LachlanKirkwood.com. I'm a big fan of Twitter and LinkedIn. You can just search me on LinkedIn, which is just Lachlan Kirkwood, of course. And Twitter, my handle is at Lachlan Kirkwood. And Click-Through DM, which is short for digital marketing, just head over to clickthrough.marketing and you'll be able to learn more about that project there.
Fantastic. And we'll have those links in the show notes. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. Our show notes will be at the normal place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IM podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a nice review so that you can see how we're doing. That's good, having reviews. Questions and suggestions, or even guest ideas, send those to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can even tweet us. We've got the at Site Visibility Twitter account. We also have the Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Lachlan.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for coming on, Lachlan, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.